we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Out of your medicines, we'll just put on your mask and get on a plane to China. I'm Dr. Marilyn Singleton, and welcome to this episode of America Out Loud Pulse. It's time to talk. China is setting itself up to take over the world. Does that sound like an exaggeration? Let's start with its manufacturing dominance of everything, including the medications that keep us alive. Antibiotics, chemotherapies, antidepressants, HIV drugs, medicines for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, all made in China. Not just the whole pills, but the ingredients to make the pills, even if the pill is manufactured in the United States. We're right now starting to see what happens with these major world events. China's lack of transparency about the origins of COVID. Remember the toilet paper, the hand sanitizer, no rare earth metals for automobile productions. Look at our shelves now. Certain foods are gone, and we better get used to it. So think about that if that's your meds. Now, the Boy Scouts, when there were Boy Scouts, said, be prepared. The U.S. did not take that advice. Do we make our own drugs to treat bioweapons, anthrax? No. Who does? China. So when there is a major drug contamination from China, we couldn't ban all the drugs imports. Why? We didn't have anywhere else to go. To quote my guest today, without firing a single missile or hacking the electric grid, China can take America down by disrupting access to essential drugs. Today, we're going to discuss how the United States has become so dependent on China for drugs. What are the risks? And most importantly, what are the solutions? Rosemary Gibson is an award-winning co-author of the book China RX, Exposing the Risks of America's Dependence on China for Medicine. She must be some sort of a mind reader. She wrote this book back in 2018 before we heard of COVID or anything else. Ms. Gibson is the recipient of the highest honor from the American Medical Writers Association for her outstanding contributions to the public interest in reporting on critical health issues. She's a senior advisor at the Hastings Center and perspectives editor at the Journal of the American Medical Association. She's been quoted in major newspapers. She testified before the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. And I am so thrilled that she could carve out some time for us. Welcome, Rosemary Gibson.
Well, Marilyn, it's really a privilege to be here, and I look forward so much to our conversation today.
Great. Well, let's jump right in. Now, the stories you tell and how you begin this book, you talk about real people that brought this problem of drugs from China to light. And right now, we're hearing about a drug you wrote about called heparin, which a lot of people didn't hear about, but it's being used for COVID. So people kind of know what it is now. Can you kind of fill us in on that story?
Sure, Marilyn. The opening of the book China RX is a story of a Johns Hopkins trained physician. He's had a thriving radiology practice in Arizona. He's a healthy 45-year-old who was, climbs and hikes in the desert. And he had a stomach ulcer, and he self-diagnosed correctly. But it was getting painful. So late one night with his wife and two children, they stopped by an emergency room at a hospital in Arizona, not too far from where they live. And they said, well, why don't you just stay overnight? It's late and your wife can go home with the children, put them to bed, and then come back in the morning and pick you up. So he was admitted, and early the next morning, he was given a dose of heparin. It's unclear medically why he was, but that's according to the medical record, which I reviewed extensively. And then come 10 o'clock in the morning, and by the way, heparin is a blood thinner, and it's widely used in hospitals and kidney dialysis centers around the country. At 10 o'clock, he got another dose, and we chronicle from his medical record, that about 20 minutes later, he's showing signs of having a heart attack. Otherwise healthy 45-year-old gentleman, it was befuddling. So the doctors brought him to the catheterization lab. They wanted to open up any blockage in his blood vessels. He was given two large doses of heparin. And then doctors saw things they had never seen before. Within an hour or two, this physician was in heart failure, and his other organs were failing. His kidneys, his lungs, he was in multiple organ failure less than 24 hours after going to this very reputable hospital. What was it? Long story short, through a very protracted journey of about 10 years, it appears as if that he was administered contaminated heparin. This was back in 2007 and 2008. And just a month after this happened to him, he was watching the news from the hospital bed with his wife sitting there next to him. And by the way, he had to have his heart removed and he was put on an artificial heart machine. So imagine this, he's sitting up in bed, tethered by an 8-foot cord to an artificial heart machine. He's watching the evening news and he hears about contaminated heparin found at a St. Louis hospital. The FDA traced it back to China and a contaminant that was put into the heparin because it's made from material that comes from pigs, and there are a lot of pigs dying that year of a disease outbreak. And so very entrepreneurial minds came up with a fake substitute. And it turns out that fake substitute at high levels was lethal.
Wow.
And he sits there and he says to his wife, oh my God, I got a lot of heparin. Was it contaminated? 3 months later, he's wheeled into the OR for a heart transplant. And he says, if I don't make it, go after them. The people who sold this drug in the United States. He said, the doctors, you know, he's a colleague, they said, yeah, he had gotten contaminated heparin. That's what he said. We don't have an independent statement of that, but that's what he said. The heart transplant was a failure. And with a few days, he lost this excruciating battle. And this physician was one of hundreds that we know of Americans whose deaths were associated with this contaminated blood thinner. Now, the challenge here is it's always difficult, if not impossible, to actually prove cause and effect. His wife, who's a physician, also said to the defense attorneys for the company that was selling it here in the US, well, if it wasn't your product, what was it that brought my husband into multiple organ failure within such a short time after being administered this product? And the case was settled out of court.
So we'll never really know what they came up with, since they don't have to admit liability when you settle.
Well, what we do know is during court proceedings, the judge required the company to open up all of its records and put it out in the public domain. And what we learned is that the company referred to this product from China as the cheap stuff. And they had moved their processing a few years prior to when this happened to this physician from a plant in the Midwest to a plant in China.
Unbelievable. And of course, we, the public, would have no way of knowing. And it sounds like probably the pharmacists at the hospital wouldn't have any way of knowing. They just get the drug, has the same label on it, and move on as if nothing had changed. What a story.
No one ever thinks that it could be the drug, but regrettably, Marilyn, as we'll talk for the next half hour or so, physicians and patients have to think now that if their drug is not working or they're having some reaction, regrettably, we have to ask the question, well, is it the generic drug? Is it manufactured properly?
Well, let's go into this investigation that got you started with all this. What kind of response did you get when you tried to dive in and research out where these drugs came from?
Well, it took 3 years to do the research, and there was no one who had the full picture. And so I interviewed individuals from industry, government, doctors, consultants, pharmaceutical engineers, and read from the trade publications. And one day I found my Rosetta Stone for China RX. And it was this one slide in a presentation by an industry group, and it showed the generic drugs, their active ingredients that were being made in China, and who they were being made for and for what products. It was the first time that I had seen anything like that. And then that led to a hunt of more information, including press releases saying this particular, say, oncology drug is being made in China and sold here in the US. So China RX documents. It has 900 footnotes, by the way, because I think it's so important for the public, for physicians, and even industry to know how dependent we are on China for the core chemicals to make thousands and thousands of our generic drugs for the world, not just the United States. The COVID drugs that were used to treat people in ICUs, basic generic drugs used in hospitals, 90% of the key starting materials are sourced from China for the world.
So we're talking about all different kinds of drugs. I mean, how many ingredients do you think that is?
Oh, it's thousands and thousands and thousands. And let's take penicillin. We can't make penicillin anymore. And that's because China engaged in certain business practices that are illegal that drove out U.S. producers. We can't make vitamin C anymore. China did the same thing. They used illegal practices to drive out U.S. makers of ascorbic acid, the main ingredient in vitamin C. We can't even make aspirin anymore.
Well, Go ahead.
And thousands and thousands of other drugs. I'm sure some of your listeners will remember the anthrax attacks. Well, one of the antidotes given for anthrax exposure is doxycycline, an antibiotic. Guess what? We don't make that anymore. In fact, we have virtually no capacity to make antibiotics in the United States of America. It's shocking.
Well, this is shocking. Well, do we have any other sources? I mean, can we go to India? Where else can we go to get these medications or even the ingredients for the medications?
Well, one of the shocking findings, and there are many shocking findings, I call them jaw droppers. Another jaw dropper was how dependent India is on China for these same starting materials. So even India cannot make penicillin, a country of 1.4 billion people. They can't make penicillin. So we need a strategy and have to act on it quickly. With all that's going on in the world, with supply chains being disrupted, it's a very, very serious problem. And now we're seeing problems with the quality of our drugs in addition to challenges with the supply. We can get into that in a minute.
Yes, we absolutely should. Just quickly before I have to take a break, can you give me a couple minutes on how did this takeover by China start? And what do you think China has in mind?
It started in the 1990s. It really ramped up then. There were some cases in the 1980s where there was some outsourcing to China of some of the materials to make generic drugs. And remember the 1984 Hatch-Waxman Act, which authorized generic drugs that could be sold off patent at lower cost. And so companies were looking for cheaper ways to make them if they had to sell them at a cheaper price. But the big turning point, Marilyn, and I remember sitting at the desk where I am now thinking about this. In the year 2000, the US signed a free trade deal with China, which would allow Chinese goods to come into the US with, you know, hardly any tariffs. That happened in 2000, and lo and behold, 3 to 4 years later, that's when the last vitamin C plant closed. It's when the last penicillin plant closed. The last aspirin plant closed then. And that's when big companies in the US began sourcing heparin ingredients from China. And it has been a landslide since then.
Boy, well, after the break, we will talk about the safety of these drugs and dive into this even deeper. I want to thank everybody for listening to America Out Loud. There's free apps on Apple, Android, Alexa, and you can hear Pulse every weekday at 5 Eastern with an encore presentation at 10. And the next morning at 8, right during commute time, you can hear the show on iHeartRadio. Now, all the shows go direct to podcast in 24 hours, and you can have Apple, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, Stitcher, and many others. So I'd say make it easy, bookmark America Out Loud, and you'll be able to hear this show at your leisure. We'll be back after the break.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Let the silent voices be heard. It was the rallying call that started it all. It's a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news to societal and cultural stories. 6 amazing years of news blogs, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCL neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfogger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
So, back to this, I'm still sitting here kind of shaking and stunned, even though I read your book, I read it a couple of years ago, and hearing about this again, really, it still gives me chills, and it makes me pick up the bottle of medication I take and wonder what's really in this stuff. I'd like you to explain, what are the labeling requirements? How is it that we don't know where these drugs came from? I mean, your bottle can say made in America. How does this all work?
Well, Marilyn, I can say with clear conviction that the rules for labeling are deliberately meant to confuse the consumer and doctors. And not only that, the special interests in Washington have made it even worse since China Rx came out. Here's how they made it worse. up until 2019, if you picked up a generic drug, it would have to be, it would be labeled made in the US if the key ingredient in the United States, which gives a medicine's therapeutic value, was produced in the United States. But what the special interests did in 2019 is they went to court and got a decision in a federal court that said, well, if the active ingredient is made in China, but the finished drug is made in the US, it can still be labeled made in the US.
That kind of seems a bit like misleading advertising, doesn't it?
It's deliberate. It's deliberate. And not only that, we're seeing growth in the number of Chinese plants, manufacturing plants that are being built here in the US. And of course, these companies are subsidized by their government. You know, if you and I, Meryl, want to set up a company here in the US, we're not competing against a Chinese company. We're competing against the Chinese government. If you want to build a plant in China, the land is free. The government will, if you grow big enough, they'll give you lucrative contracts. China manipulates its currency to make their products appear much cheaper than what it actually costs to produce them. And they engage in price fixing, all to achieve their goal, which is, they've said it, is to become the pharmacy to the world. And what that means is even increasing our dependence more than we are now. India depends on China for almost 70% of those key starting materials for its entire generic industry. And India supplies about 25% of our generic drugs. And I just think it's a matter of time before China will overtake India, because China has the strategy, the resources, and the plan.
It's very interesting because to hear that about India, because so many of us, especially when people were looking for ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and going to outside sources, everybody says, oh, go to India. They're great drug producers. And it's like, well, India is just a pass through to China.
That's right. And that's why India banned about 26 different products during the height of the pandemic here in the US and hospitalizations, because it couldn't get the key materials from China. And plus, other countries banned exports. You know, the whole globalization thing broke down during the pandemic. You had Italy banning exports of propofol, sedative, for people on ventilators. The UK banned a number of different medicinal products. India banned it. Others did too. Why? Because they need them for their own people. But this notion of global supply chain, it doesn't work, because countries have an obligation to take care of their own. That's why I've been advocating for domestic manufacturing of the most essential generic drugs, at least have some minimum capability of production here at home for public health security and national security.
This is unbelievable. You know, I always try to say, okay, where's the lemonade in these lemons? The problems that happened during COVID with drug supplies do bring it to light how this whole push for globalization in the end likely isn't going to work, because in the end, we've got to look out for our own. But once you've dug yourself in the hole of being so dependent on somebody else for something so basic as the initial ingredients for a drug, you wonder, you know, how do we ever dig ourselves back out? But we'll get to that. I have a question about the FDA inspections, since all these places, some are in China, some are in America. Does the FDA go to China and actually inspect where the drugs are being made?
Well, during the heparin incident that I described back in 2007 and 2008, where the Johns Hopkins trained physician, when he got contaminated heparin, as it appears, there was no formal inspection process of overseas manufacturing plants. It was shocking. And yet that didn't stop companies from outsourcing and buying product from there. In fact, in 2007 or 2008, the head of the China FDA was charged with taking bribes and he was executed by the government. And I give credit to the Chinese government because they said, we are still at an early stage of our ability to meet Western standards. But that did not stop companies from outsourcing. I remember talking to someone who was involved in compliance for the industry, making sure rules are followed. And this person would describe these huge drums of medicinal material coming in from China. And it would just be gray. And they'd have to reject, you know, in one case, 5 out of 6 of these large drums. Nobody was checking. In fact, there's a quote in China RX that even the president of the United States was at risk. That these bulk drugs coming in from places like China could get to the president of the United States. Now, things changed in 2012. And Congress passed a law that gave FDA authority and a funding source to do overseas inspections. But doing inspections in China has been consistently problematic. China wouldn't give visas to US federal workers who work for the FDA to go over and do inspections. And more recently, the FDA suspended inspections of manufacturing plants, which are a key part of their ability to protect the public. These very high standards that companies have to meet. But since early 2020, the FDA said, we're not going to do inspections just to protect our workers. But the challenge that's particularly concerning with China is that there are reports that federal employees don't want to travel to certain countries. Think of it. Remember when there were reports by the US State Department that China was doing anal COVID swabs for US diplomats arriving in Beijing. How humiliating is that?
And you know that was done on purpose to humiliate. Who needed to do anal COVID swabs? Come now.
Not only that, think of it. If you're a federal employee and very talented, capable, and you do an inspection of a plant in China, and you find some problems that could cause the FDA to ban that company's products from coming into the US. And you write up your inspection report and leave it with the company. Do you think the FDA will ever give you a visa to go back?
Yes, good question.
Mm-hmm. And there are reports of, this could be from multiple countries. I don't have country-specific information, but there are reports that some FDA people have been threatened. And I recall, and this happened way before, even with heparin, there was a report from a senior government official that China said to our government that if you say bad things about China with regard to heparin, there could be shortages of drugs in your country.
So holding us hostage.
That was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And yet we didn't wake up. We allowed more outsourcing. And you know why this has happened? You know, it took me a long time to figure this out. But I heard from two different people who worked in two different companies the same story. Western drug manufacturers that make branded drugs, or obviously what people know, very profitable. They wanted to access the Chinese market to sell their high margin drugs. To grease the skids and oil the wheels, so to speak, the US-based companies, Western companies, gave away their, I'll call it the recipe book, to make antibiotics and hundreds of other drugs to China. Because China always demands a quid pro quo. If you want to come to our country and make money here, then you have to give us something. That's why we don't make so many drugs.
Well,
they had to give away the specs to make these basic medicines to access the Chinese market. So it's also us. You just can't blame China. It took US and other Western companies that basically gave away the story, even antibiotic research programs. They let it go.
Well, you say something in your book that I'll just quote. China has gone from trading with the United States to owning the United States. Everything you've talked about is a huge national security problem. You're talking private and public health and military. All these patients aren't going to get what they want. What are we going to do with this? We talked about anthrax, that we don't have a treatment for it made on our soil. What are we supposed to do? How do you get the government to wake up?
You know, you're right. There's a chapter in China RX that's entitled, "Where does the Secretary of Defense procure his medicine?" And where our U.S. military gets its medicines, the same as the rest of us. And when I testified before the House and Senate, I said the same thing. These are the same drugs that all of you are taking. And in fact, there was a retired military colonel who spoke up extemporaneously at the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission hearing where I testified. And he just spoke up and said, look, I had got these blood pressure medicines, and I'm sure you'll remember this, Marilyn, as a physician. And he said they were contaminated with chemicals used in rocket fuel. And they came from China. So this gets to very high levels. And you're right, it's an absolute national security issue as well as a public health security issue.
Well, you wonder, why do you think the government ignores it? We have a couple things. All right. Are we going to say that convenience and low prices are taking a backseat to safety? And of course, you have no way of knowing. You weren't the Secretary of Defense. You weren't the president. But is there some deal somebody has with China for us to just plain keep our mouth shut?
Well, if you look at who's buying these drugs from China and often substandard drugs from there and other parts of the world, there are Fortune 10 and 20 companies. There's one, for example, one company that's responsible for purchasing one third of all generic drugs dispensed in the United States. And they make decisions on purchases based on one thing, price. As long as it comes under the rubric of made in an FDA inspected facility. They use that FDA inspection as a fig leaf. So we have multi-billion dollar companies, very powerful in Congress and in the marketplace, that are making decisions based on price. They want to buy cheap and sell higher. And there's a big difference between what it costs to make a drug and what companies will sell it for. I'll give you a really real world example. I met a gentleman who's worked in pharmaceutical manufacturing, and he's taking a blood pressure medicine called Lisinopril. And he went to buy a refill for 90 days of his prescription. And in one store, it was $154.50 for that 90-day supply. And he said, guess how much it would cost to make it? So I said, well, $20. He said, $1.
Whoa.
The manufacturing cost often is not the problem. It's all these middlemen that come in and jack up the prices so they can get on the Forbes top 10 or 20 list in terms of revenue. And these are the ones that have a special interest in continuing to buy cheap without respect to quality. It's scandalous.
It is scandalous. And, corporations, pharmaceutical companies have obviously a great place in our country and have given us some wonderful products. But there's always folks, including our Congress folks, who are willing to ignore truths based on campaign contributions from these people who game the system And it's pretty disgusting because they give all the other corporations a bad name. They give capitalism a bad name. And this is my little plea to voters. Just remember this stuff when it comes time to vote for somebody and ask them, who funds your campaign?
And you know what also happens, Marilyn, is that there are some very good companies here in the US and elsewhere. And they want to sell products, you know, these generic drugs, and they've never got any warning letters from the FDA. They're people of integrity and companies of integrity with good cultures. But these big buyers on the Fortune 10 and 20 list, they said, okay, we'll buy from you, but you have to sell it. You have to sell it to us at X price. I said, we can't do that. And so what do these big buyers do? They go to often companies that have warning letters, often repeated warning letters from the FDA. And they're buying this stuff.
Wow. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about how do we know there's bad drugs and get into some issues with testing. And again, everybody, I just want to thank you for listening to America's Out Loud Pulse. And we've got different doctors on different days. Tuesday, we have Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley from Concerned Doctors. We have Wednesdays with Dr. Peter McCulloch and Thursdays with Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Ross Bregan and Fridays with scientist Dr. James Lyons-Weiler. So it's a variety of folks and you'll be glad you listen.
Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Peter McCulloch. I can tell you, one of the greatest pathophysiologic drivers for tiredness and fatigue during the day is poor quality sleep at night. People always focus on how long they slept, but they never think about the quality. And to improve the quality, there's a terrific product. That's the Healthy Cell REM Sleep Supplement. And what I tell friends and family and patients is take it every night consistently. It comes in a convenient bioabsorbable gel pack. Take it right before you go to bed. Take the gel pack, brush your teeth, go to bed. Its effects are nearly instantaneous and patients get a well-rested sleep continuously, day after day, week after week, month after month. And then that daytime tiredness and fatigue melts away when there's a greater restful sleep the night before. So give it a try. Go to healthycell.com and in the promotional code, type in out loud for 20% off your order. Let's get real, let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back. You know, I remember when dogs were dying and getting sick from food from China. And isn't it amazing how we pay attention to this stuff when it comes to our animals? So after enough dogs died, we started testing the food and it had melamine and something called cyanuric acid. And these recalls were from a lot of places, Europe, America, South Africa. And the dogs had kidney failure and some survived, but many of them died. So as far back as 2007, they knew that there was agricultural contamination by pollutants that were in the air because China grew so fast. And We don't know what the oversight is. We don't know what really is happening in China. Obviously, the state controls the media. And then you wonder if, in fact, China has written safety laws, that do they even follow them? So I'm going to ask you, Rosemary, does the FDA even test these drugs as they come out of China?
Marilyn, the FDA does not do routine testing of our generic drugs wherever they come from. It might do it a very, very small number, but they don't want to do it. I testified in the House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee in July 2019. And I said, because of the concerns that we have about our medicine supply, that the FDA should be testing every batch before it's sold in the United States. And there was a senior FDA official in the back of the room who stayed after this person's testimony on the earlier panel. And I'm told that she kept shaking her head no. No to testing. And it's really concerning to me that absent inspections and with increasing concerns about the safety and efficacy of our generic drugs, that the FDA is extremely reluctant to do this. I suspect it's from industry pressure that doesn't want the public to know that there can be some problems in some portion of our generic drug supply.
Well, I imagine what on earth would happen if they did start testing and did decide if, you know, once they set some sort of standard and decided that X percent of contaminants were in this drug or that drug, and suddenly people didn't have lisinopril, they didn't have their hydrochlorothiazide, these basic medicines that half the United States takes. They don't have an answer. Therefore, I guess, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Therefore, don't test.
That's exactly what happened in 2018 with blood pressure medicines. Millions of Americans, and I'm sure some of your listeners, have their blood pressure medicines recalled because carcinogens were found in them. And the FDA changed its standards. It banned some companies' products altogether because they had very high levels of the carcinogen. There was a plant in China making the active ingredient in valsartan. And the level of cancer-causing chemical was more than 200 times the acceptable limit. People were taking this every day. And the FDA inspection notice said that the company knew it had problems, but sold it anyway. So the FDA banned this company's product, but they couldn't ban everything. So they allowed some of these blood pressure medicines to be sold in the United States to prevent shortages. And this happens in Europe. At least the Europeans are more honest. In fact, I just put this out on Twitter a few moments ago before we got started. The European agency that's like the equivalent to the FDA in Europe wrote in a black and white in an issue paper in 2012, they acknowledged that they have to make trade-offs between allowing substandard drugs on the market to avert drug shortages. That's what's happening. At least the EU has the courage to say this. Our FDA doesn't.
You know, and people might even understand, I don't know how reasonable people would be about this. If we came out with an announcement that said, well, your drug might be substandard, your drug might have some slight contaminants in it, but it's better to have a drug like that than no drug at all. I don't know if we Americans would accept that, but the truth always comes out, and it hurts more after truth has been delayed.
That's right. And, you know, I think it's good to point out that if you ask people who worked in this pharmaceutical manufacturing industry, remember the people who work in the manufacturing plant are very different from, quote, big pharma. These are the men and women who actually make the product, have to get products made correctly. they said what they're seeing now was just unthinkable in the 1980s, to see these kinds of warning letters, these kinds of problems. So it's like being slowly, like a frog in a pot of boiling water. We're slowly and slowly and slowly going downhill. But I noticed since 2018 when writing China RX that the decline has accelerated. And that's why we've got to start testing our generic drugs.
Well, now, does China actually make counterfeit drugs?
Well, there are certainly reports of counterfeit drugs, and of course, the illegal fentanyl that's flooding our country. And so they're using both, the fact that they're using illegal drugs to decimate communities and kill people. And what's to stop them from using our legal supply chain to do it similarly? Because, you know, you can weaponize our legal medicine supply. You can do it by withholding essential drugs. You can do it by contaminating them with something very bad. Or you can make and sell generic drugs that don't have the full therapeutic value, don't have the full active ingredient in it. But it's very, very hard to show cause and effect. That's why we have a chapter title in China RX called The Perfect Crime. You can slowly and slowly sicken a population before anybody realizes what's happening.
My goodness. Well, we certainly know with this fentanyl problem, and I, as an anesthesiologist, I used fentanyl for years, and I remember when it came out and where I was training, we were testing it, and it was the greatest thing since sliced bread in anesthesia. I'm sure people are afraid to tell a patient, yes, you're getting fentanyl. You know, it's not a bad drug as such, but when it's being made, and who knows if the strengths are standardized, and this stuff that they're sending to Mexico and then coming across the border and killing us, it's so blatant. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's coming from China. Everybody knows it's coming across the border, but nobody seems to be doing anything about it. How many people have to die from these overdoses? And because fentanyl, you really have to titrate the drug carefully. That's why all these people are dying, because the doses are so out of whack, and people, and they're contaminating other opiates with fentanyl. This whole thing, it's sickening, and China knows what it's doing. And I'm locking my doors.
And our government allows it to happen. It also allowed to happen. You know, the big distributors, U.S.-based companies, again, on the Fortune 10 and 20 list, that were distributing throughout the United States and communities, huge doses of opioids to communities at the number of pills that were being sent to pharmacies in some of these communities was so outrageous compared to what could be the healthcare need of that population. Until we had, you know, the lawsuits that a number of states brought against these firms. And these are people in the companies in the legal supply chain. So they can freely distribute with impunity, except they're fighting some of the fines now, these legal drugs. You know, of course they don't want to. It makes you wonder whether they have the best interests of patients.
Does make you wonder, doesn't it? And we think that about a lot of things, whether they, you know, whether it's us that people actually care about. There's too many times when things don't seem to be in our interest, but boy, that's a whole nother conversation. What can we do about this?
Here's what we can do. Number one, we are seeing certain healthcare systems and some manufacturers and some buyers that are starting to test generic drugs for safety and efficacy. Last year, there was an article that came out in a medical journal that talked about a drug used for patients who have had heart transplants. And these patients would go to the hospital, have a transplant, and go home and get their prescription refilled for an immunosuppressant, you know, to prevent rejection of the new heart. Well, there were, you know, some of their doctors were noticing that the patients weren't doing well. They were coming back in the hospital, and apparently some of them died. And so the doctors had these bottles of meds that the patients got from retail pharmacies tested. And there was a report published in this Journal of Heart and Lung Transplantation last year that showed that two of the four products tested, the patients got from the retail pharmacies, did not dissolve properly in the body. So people were not getting the full dose at the proper time of this essential drug for them. And if we're at a point where major hospitals are feeling the need to have to test generic drugs, you know we've got a problem.
Well, what do you think for day-to-day drugs? My goodness, these were anti-rejection drugs. These were sick people and people who, you know, were being monitored bit by bit. There's plenty of us day-to-day that just take these medications. Fortunately, we're not dropping like flies. And if there are contaminants, they're small enough where they're not going to kill us, at least not right away. How can we get, I don't know whether it's the FDA, whether it should be a private company, whether batches of drugs would, I'd pay more if somebody said these drugs have been independently tested. Maybe we should do that like what UL does for electrical appliances. What do you think? I don't know. I'm just throwing out this stuff.
No, I think you're absolutely right. There are good companies that want to stand above the rest of the crowd in terms of quality and safety and efficacy. And I would like to see something like an underwriter's laboratory that would put a good housekeeping seal of approval on manufacturers that are selling products that are made the way they should be. The second thing we need to do is to, and this is what a project I'm starting, Marilyn, is to hear from physicians who, there's a growing number of physicians who are close observers of their patients. And I'm hearing more and more case reports of concerns and questions being asked, is the generic drug working properly? So I'm prepared to write up some of those case reports. And I'd like to hear from patients about their experience with generic drugs if something just doesn't seem right. We have to start putting this out there and put the question of the safety of our drugs right out there in the public domain.
I think patients are our best allies. When people start to speak up, sometimes our legislators listen. Sometimes they don't listen to doctors. They, you know, doctors will never have enough money to have more money than the big corporations and other big associations. But patients are voters, and at some point they do have to listen. And we don't want people to be paranoid. Most things probably are fine, but we don't know that. I worry about kids because problems in medications, anything that you give a child, the chance that it's going to have a problem is increased because their bodies kind of aren't toughened up yet. So maybe we'll get our mama bears on this and people realizing that we've got to look out for ourselves. It's time for us to get away from China.
Absolutely right. And I advice that I give to people is not to be frightened, but to be enlightened. And one thing that you can consider doing is I hear from reputable people that authorize generics could be better products than other generic manufactured products. These are generics that might come off the same manufacturing line as the brand name drug, but they put the generic label on it. I hear reports that they tend to be better. So that's an option to consider.
And certainly, and we can tell people to ask their pharmacist when they go there and say, where did this drug come from?
Well, I think what you have to do is take a step further and look at the bottle. Ask the pharmacist to show you the bottle. And then go home and look up that company. And you can go to Daily Med. Here's a second resource, and we have tips in China RX. Go to Daily Med. Daily Med is a website hosted by the National Institute of Health, the National Library of Medicine. You can type in the name of your generic drug and the dosage, and it will show you all the different manufacturers, repackagers that make that particular drug that you're taking. And some of them will give you at least some information about where your drug may be coming from.
Well, this is great information, and I hope people take it to heart. And again, like Rosemary just said, enlighten, not frighten. We don't want people to stop taking their drugs. And I'm sure, again, most of them are doing just fine. But every now and then, if you feel like your drug isn't working properly, say something. Don't stay quiet about it. Tell your doctor. And hopefully, eventually, and sooner rather than later, we'll start to do something about it. I do suggest that everybody read China RX. It reads like a novel, not like some sort of scientific book. And you'll get some more information on what we've talked about today. So where can people find you and your books, Rosemary?
Marilyn, China RX is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Just do a search for it and it will come up. And people can follow me on Twitter. You don't have to sign up for Twitter to have an account. You can just put in at Rosemary100 and you'll see the latest information on what's happening with our drug supply and the safety and security of our medicines. And I hope you will read China RX, share it with family and friends. And also your readers should know, Marilyn, we donate proceeds to good causes because this is important for all of us, for our country, for our health system, our public health, and our security. So this is fixable. And there are good people who are stepping up who want to fix it. So together, I really believe that we can make a difference.
Thank you so much for giving us your time. And thank you, everybody, for listening to America Out Loud Pulse. And remember, we're free apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa. Every weekday, you can hear the Pulse, 5 p.m. Eastern, Encore at 10 p.m. And on iHeartRadio, 8 a.m. the next morning, if you're lucky enough to be driving to work. Just bookmark AmericaOutLoud.com. And whether you agree or you have other opinions, please share the show. And until next week, say it loud. I'm free and I'm proud.